You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
All right, it's 11:34. Just got a news alert from Kevin Trudell. This is live radio, so of course we have to keep up with what's going on. First, I'd like to say hello to the Privacy Commissioner for Ontario, Anne Cavoukian. Anne, welcome back to Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, Dale. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, here's the alert, and it affects what we're talking about. It's only they've only moved a line of copy so far,
okay. And
it says Canadian Border Services Agency to halt monitoring of travelers' conversations. Oh, man.
Oh, outstanding.
Isn't that something?
Oh, thank you. I had not got that alert yet, so that is pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, it shows that public uproar works. Uproar from the likes of you, who know all about these privacy issues, also works, right?
Oh, I am delighted to hear that news. Thank you so much. Well, we try to be vigilant, and sometimes it has an effect.
Well, it really, I mean, as I was saying a few minutes ago, and I was thinking about it and coming across all the security cameras you see everywhere, and a lot of them in airports, and you know they're taking pictures of you.
Yes.
That's one thing.
Yes.
But it seems to me it really ups the ante if then somebody's also listening to my private conversation.
Oh, exactly, Dale. I couldn't agree more. And you have to remember, when people spend a lot of time at airports, speaking for myself.
Yes.
I travel a lot. I'm always there early to make sure I catch things. So I'm there a lot. I do a lot of work there. A lot of business gets done.
Yeah.
And I'm on my cell phone. I'm talking to my office on confidential matters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking quietly. But the point is, if that activity was captured, or even if you're talking to your family, your husband or wife, or you're talking to your doctor about a medical condition, that's nobody's business. You know, people often say, well, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear.
Yeah, I know. Hear it all the time.
Privacy is not about having something to hide. It's not about secrecy. It's about control. You,
yeah,
as the individual, should be able to control who has information relating to your personal things. And that's what it's about. And we're not accustomed to having all of our cell phones and conversations recorded at the airport. This is a new practice. You don't just throw this on people and say, well, it's going to happen, and if you want to know about it, go to the website and take a look. We'll tell you about it.
Yeah, apparently. And this is the way the story, I'm laughing now because I think it's funny in retrospect. They were talking about having these microphones for sure at the Ottawa airport. Be a lot of interesting conversations going on at the Ottawa airport, wouldn't you think?
Indeed. But no wonder it's gotten scrapped.
Yeah, no wonder. Both.
And it's so silly to me that they had intended to do this without putting very clear signs up in the affected areas to the individuals involved,
yeah,
to notify them that this is going to happen. No, they were going to put the privacy notice on the website. So if you had the savvy to go to the website before going to the airport, then you might learn about it. As one of my friends said, oh, well, then only the terrorists are going to go and check it out at the website.
Yeah,
and they won't be talking at the airports. It'll just be the rest of us innocent folks.
Well, I mean, as if terrorists sat around chatting about what they were going to,
yes,
do once getting on an aircraft or something,
yes,
of that nature. I mean, I understand and appreciate security, and I want it around me when I fly as much as you want it around you.
Absolutely.
But, do you know of any other jurisdictions where conversations are recorded at airports? Is it a practice in other places that you know of?
I'm not familiar with it. Of course, cameras,
yeah,
are everywhere, CCTV,
yeah,
cameras, and we expect that. I don't have a problem with that. But not recording. See, the recordings, what I don't like about it, it's covert. It's covert monitoring. People,
yeah,
don't know it's happening. It's happening under the wire, and it can happen in a way that can capture information out of context. You know, in a context is key to privacy. If you happen to catch a few words, and you might get the wrong flavor, the wrong meaning,
yeah,
unless you have the full story behind it. That's the problem with this non-contextual capture of information.
I might say that from time to time, in all the time I've spent at airports in the past as well, I've been, may I say, angry at the airport. Maybe my flight was canceled.
Yeah.
Some other malfeasance was perpetrated upon me by some airline or even by security. And I may have turned to my traveling companion and said something for her ears only. And suddenly I'm being recorded.
Well, that's it. And could you imagine if you were really upset about that and you said something and out of context, the authorities might think, oh, my God, that guy's a troublemaker.
Grab that guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem with this, one of the problems. Plus, there's another term. It's called security theater. Bruce Schneier, who's a world-renowned security expert, came up with this term, security theater, that introducing a lot of these measures doesn't actually do anything to enhance public safety and security, but it just gives us the illusion. It makes us feel better. It gives us the optic security theater, but it's
showy.
Not real.
Showy.
Yes.
But the other side of this is, I guess, and I'm asking you this, I guess when you, for example, go to an airport, a place of high security because of circumstances in the world these days, what kind of expectation of privacy do you have anyway?
I think you're right. There's a different expectation of privacy. It's much more limited because we are entering into an area where we know we're going to have cameras everywhere and they're going to be recording our behavior. But I still think that's different from having all of our audio conversations captured. We're not accustomed to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's raising the bar to a different level. And I would want to be convinced that there is empirical evidence showing the benefits of doing that. So if you want to limit my privacy and my freedom, demonstrate to me that there's a tangible benefit. That has yet to be done.
Well, of course, in cases where authorities, police or other investigators or whomever's, are monitoring conversations, that's why we have judges.
Oh, exactly. By all means, they
you
can
know,
get,
go,
a judicial
get a warrant.
Authorization, get a warrant, and by all means do that. I have no problem with that.
But now that it's been pulled back, and we'll get more details as I find out about it, but obviously the government's reacting kind of strongly to this. Is it fair to say that monitoring conversations in the airports is a no-go situation, knowing what we know today? I mean, that really is over the line, is it, in your estimation?
It is a different line, clearly.
Yeah.
It's farther, much farther, in terms of invasiveness than cameras alone. Because with cameras, they're also very visible. You know they're there.
Yeah.
There's no question. You know the data capture. Audio takes it to a different level. I haven't studied the actual research on this, Dale, so I don't want to hazard a guess.
Yeah.
But I certainly want to say that if the government contemplated going that direction, they would have to give full public notice to the people affected by this in the areas of the airport contemplated. Passengers would have to be notified so that they could adjust their behavior accordingly, so that they wouldn't have, you know, an intimate conversation with their partner on the telephone or discuss confidential data over the phone with their boss, for example.
Well, because you know how it works. You're on your cell phone and you're walking around. You're wandering all over the airport on your cell phone. There are no people around you, and it's kind of noisy in airports, so you speak with a bit of a raised voice, and you think you're having a private conversation.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the government, the CBSA, did not do a privacy impact assessment on this aspect, the audio. They haven't submitted it to the Federal Privacy Commissioner. It's been, I think, very shoddy the way that they've introduced this, as if it was a fait accompli.
But that's the practice, isn't it? Both for you with Ontario issues and with your counterparts and colleagues across Ontario and federally, that governments come to you and kind of test run their plans first?
They do. And I have to say, in Ontario, we have an excellent relationship with the government here. They are regularly in the practice of, if they're going to introduce something new, they certainly consult with us well in advance so that we can proactively protect privacy. We call it privacy by design, embedding privacy into the design of any new technologies contemplated or new processes or business practices that are different from the existing practice, they come and they consult with us proactively. It's very, very important to do this ahead of the game.
Is the biggest threat against privacy, the biggest peril that whittles away at our privacy, concerns for security? That's the relationship, isn't it?
Certainly, security is a big one.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I point your listeners to our website called privacybydesign.ca. One of the things we emphasize in this is that we're not advocating one interest over another. So I'm not saying privacy at the expense of security.
For sure.
Of course not. But I'm also saying you don't have to do the reverse. You don't have to do this zero sum. It's got to be security or privacy. No, you can have both. So that's what we advocate, with this positive sum solution of multiple functionalities, security and privacy, business interests and privacy. You can do both, and we demonstrate on our website how you can do this in multiple scenarios.
All right, let's hear from Hugh, who's waiting patiently on the line from Sunderland. Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
You had a comment
really
about this?
To hear that word shoddy apply to this circumstance. When I first heard of this, the very first thing that I thought of was Henry Kissinger talking about a president a while back. So we see that just because the information there was a case of a media taping, I believe, but we can't really be assured of privacy with a government organization. WikiLeaks is a perfect example of that. When I first heard the issue, the other thoughts that were coming to mind would this data be transmitted by hardwire or radio transmissions?
Yeah.
Because there's a significant security issue there.
Well, sure.
And of course, if it's dealing with the CBSA and international travelers, you can't be assured that they're speaking English and French. They could be speaking any one of hundreds of languages. So I start considering all of those issues. And so you need translators. You need to be able to deal with this stuff immediately. So a tremendous amount of cost involved with all of this on a program that might produce almost nothing, particularly these days when many people, even when they're right beside each other, are still using texting. So that would void the microphone issue completely.
Well, it would, but then the one thing you haven't mentioned is the fact that it's really none of the government's business what you're talking to your wife about at the airport.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not their business. It's not anybody else's. I mean, it's another invasion of somebody's personal area without going through that diligence and that the appropriate things that should be dealt with there.
Hugh, thank you very much. He's
thank
singing
you.
Your song, Ann Cavoukian.
Well, and I agree with him. And, you know, to further Hugh's points, this kind of covert monitoring, it is such an extreme measure. I really believe if they engaged in this, there would be a potential charter challenge, and this would not stand.
What about other issues? I mean, just with the video component, we know the security cameras are there. We often hear talk, and we never know how far it really goes inside security circles, of monitoring facial expressions of people a lot more closely, looking for the nervous ones, the ones with perspiration on their upper lip, the ones looking desperate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We keep hearing about this. Would that be stepping over a line, too?
Well, I think if it's using the existing technology with the cameras that are there, I don't think that would be stepping over the line. I know that at border crossings, when you're driving to the border, to the U.S., for example, they do gauge, or they try to gauge how nervous is the driver. You know, are they trying to evade? So I don't have a problem with that. But it's just resorting to additional means of data capture, as Hugh mentioned.
Yeah.
Would this be done in a wireless manner with radio frequencies involved? What are the security risks in that?
Yeah.
It just continues in that medium extensively.
Sounds like a typical government operation that could run amok.
Yes,
I would think. All right, now if you have some comments or questions, we have a few more minutes with the Privacy Commissioner for Ontario, Ann Cavoukian. Give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Anne Cavoukian is my special guest. She's the Privacy Commissioner for Ontario. We're talking about what seems to be a federal government plan that's now been pulled back upon. The Canadian Border Services Agency was admitting to monitoring or planning to monitor private conversations at airport and border crossings. And now we hear from Vic Tave's office that such is not going to be the case. They're pulling back on that. There will be no monitoring of conversations, which is a real yippee, isn't it, Anne Cavoukian? We got a lot of people here who'd like to have something to say about this. Let's have a listen publicly, not privately. Here's John calling from Brampton. What are your thoughts, John?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen, gentle lady.
Yes.
As
go ahead, John.
Yes. As a citizen or a resident of this planet, I would like to know which robots we're talking about here. Are becoming robots or who? Could
robots?
You answer that question, please?
Robots? What do you mean?
Robot, I mean that you can do nothing anymore. While we have a lot of criminals running around, we don't do nothing about it.
All right, John. I'm not sure where you're going there. I'll just let that hang in the air, and I'll talk to Al in Brantford. Al, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I know this has been going on for at least 15 years because I was personally caught in that deal down in at the border crossing into Canada from Detroit.
Oh yeah.
About 10 o'clock at night. My wife and I had been gone for 2 weeks. I had bought a big power boat. My wife had bought a whole bunch of odds and ends of stuff, and she had all the receipts in an envelope.
Right.
So we lost it.
So you lost the envelope. Lost. Okay. All right.
So when we got to where we got to.
She lost. I heard what you said. You said we lost it, and then you said, no, she lost it.
That's how the conversation went in the vehicle.
Oh,
as we were coming up with the camper.
Right.
So when we got there, four border guard guys came out with their clipboards and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had told my wife when I stopped, we opened the door of the van, we sat in it, and I said, you know, something along the lines of, screw them. I said, if they want to know what we bought, let them go sorting through and check all the tags. If they want the receipts, let them dig through the freaking van and find them.
Right.
And I come back and stood beside the boat.
Right.
Well, the guys come walking out.
Yeah.
And there was a lone girl there.
Yeah.
A female, right?
Yeah.
So she came walking out, and the end result was he asked me what I paid for the boat. I told him, and I said, if you look inside, it was a big one. Yeah, so you climb up inside, you'll find new seat belts, life jacket and stuff I bought too. What'd you pay for that? I told him. And they walked around, and I said, if you really want to get serious, I put wheel bearings in it too before I come up the road with it.
Yeah.
And I was in a good mood, to be honest with you. This went all down. And then they said, do you have the, because the number is on the boat on the side, but the serial number for the trailer.
Yeah.
Was also on the trailer.
Yeah.
So the girl volunteered to go down with me to get it. And I was not in a good mood. And, you know, we get down on our knees down there. And I said, if them buggers want it, I said, let them get down here and find it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she put her finger up to her mouth and she's like this. She's and talking like that, right?
Oh, anyway, she's telling you to shush, is she?
Yes.
Oh.
So my wife and I ended up back with her in her office. She was the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And we get in her office, and she came in there, and I was.
I'm running out of time here, Al. You better get to the point.
She was the one that told me they knew everything we had, everything. They had been listening to our conversation.
They heard
they
everything.
They do that. They monitor them coming in, but it's for customs, for money not being paid and stuff not declared.
Oh, and mainly that's the thrust. Nothing to do with security, is it?
No, it wasn't security. It was to do with what we might have been hiding. And,
how many years ago was this?
15 years ago.
Al, thank you. Thank you very much.
We don't want to do the same thing here. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Well, we're trying to avoid it. And thank God it's become a public issue and now can be withdrawn by Vic Taves. Yeah. There's always the other prospect. I mean, we don't really know how we're being monitored. And maybe these microphones have been on for all we know. We just don't know.
Well, in the spirit of transparency, I'm hoping to find out if that's the case.
Here's David calling from St. Catharines. David, what's your story? David, go ahead, please.
My story. It's the element of what you're talking about is that disturbs me the most is not so much what the government are talking about, but the fact that they're even talking about it. I mean, how many times do they have to get hit in the head to know it hurts? The gun registration was a good example of you know, persecuting, prosecuting, doing all kinds of things to good people and innocent people while the criminals sat back and laughed. They didn't buy a license for a gun. Now, do you think that a terrorist in the airport is going to know exactly what's going on, because that's their business to know what the government is doing, and B, is going to talk about what he intends to do?
Yeah, let's chat over.
Being monitored?
Let's chat about our plan.
Yeah, David, thank you. That's exactly right. That was the comment that I got when I was told that, how are they going to tell people about this? They're going to put a privacy policy on the CBSA website with no notice to people at the actual place. I mean, the only people who are going to go to the website and check this stuff out are the terrorists, and then they're going to make sure they don't talk in those areas.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly. So is there a, I guess there's a lesson to be learned here, and maybe we should feel a bit of comfort in all of this, that the federal government, and let's be fair to the federal government, has, as this latest story is saying now, put the brakes on eavesdropping at border points.
You're absolutely right, Dale. We should be very grateful for the outcome here. If I can just add one thing, though, that I'd like your listeners to remain vigilant about. We have to continue to oppose Bill C-30, which I think is going to resurrect its head in the next season, which will enable the government to follow your activities online, access your subscriber data, your email address, all of this information from ISPs and telcos without a warrant. So that's what we have to be vigilant against next.
That is a huge looming problem, is it not?
Yes, and we are going to continue to oppose it very strongly. Just refer people to our website, and we're going to continue to fight the fight on that.
I mean, certainly, I think a lot of us don't really have much of an expectation of privacy online. Nonetheless, to be monitored by any agency, any police department, any anything, is still unacceptable, I think. It's totally unacceptable.
Yeah. But I'm also going to challenge you, because I think, Dale, you should have some expectation of privacy online. If you're minding your own business, you're just surfing websites looking for medical treatments or whatever. There's a lot of personal things you do online, and you're not breaking any laws. You're a law-abiding citizen. There is no reason the government should be monitoring those activities.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you totally. My first reaction is always to say, none of your business.
That's right. Absolutely. Keep saying that.
Well, and you keep saying it too, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dale.
Ann Cavoukian, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Okay. All right. Ann Cavoukian is the Privacy Commissioner for Ontario, now celebrating the fact that this little government project is now apparently not going to go anywhere.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.